You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Check, 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 check. Why is it still coming? I guess I'll just plug this shit in. Fuck you. Check, 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 check.
Hello,
all right.
Hello, hello.
All right.
Oh, okay.
All right. We're live.
We're in.
Of a sort.
Boeing.
Is it a life, though?
No, certainly not this. I mean, I'm getting a firsthand look at what your situation currently is, and this is no way to live.
You're getting tetanus.
I mean, possibly. I will need a tetanus shot after being in this van. That's for sure.
You want to describe the situation and with the recognition that none of it is my fault?
Oh, well.
None of it is my fault. None of this bullshit is mine.
The piss jugs are not your fault?
Not mine. Not remotely mine.
We got some visitors here.
No, we got some
who's
some
that?
Fellas.
Dookie, what's up, man?
What's going on,
what's
guys?
Going on?
Oh, they're in the vehicle right now. Hold on. Let's. Oh.
Oh, you need the keys.
Oh,
okay.
Oh. All right. Yeah, we're good. Thank you.
The current state of affairs in this van, it's dark. It's, well, okay. So.
That was live production, everybody.
Yeah, that is, yeah. We're rolling with the punches here. You've been on the road for what, about 2 weeks?
Yeah, two.
Maybe less
maybe
than
three.
That. I don't know. Yeah, is it more? I don't know. What? Anyway, the van, and I think you still have another 2 weeks in front of you.
That's correct.
And this is a dump. This is like living in an actual pile of trash. There's bottles full of piss.
There's two members that refuse to use the bathroom, and I mean that truly. Like, it's not a bit. They will not go into a rest stop to use the bathroom. They think it's much more efficient to piss in bottles.
That's a rest stop bathroom is thrilling.
Yeah, you don't know what could happen.
I mean, you got to go in there for the
graffiti,
you know,
alone.
Exactly. But, the graffiti, the glory hole.
But they just do not want to get up. I haven't seen the Dune 2 movie.
No.
I think I'm over anything that has computers.
Yeah.
Just even the color correction.
Oh. Okay.
I don't want anything. I just want to look at what my eye believes to be a real image of things that are happening.
Yeah.
That's all I want anymore.
You're out on Dune.
I'm out on Dune, but anyway, the point is the Harkonnens are the, you know, they're like a fat slug type people.
You know, in the movie they were pronounced Harkonnen.
Yeah, I'm not with that.
Yeah, Harkonnen makes more sense to me.
Harkonnen sounds harder, it looks better.
Harkonnen sounds like a, you know, like Habibi at the shawarma grill.
Maybe that's what they're trying to do. By the way, the discourse about how the film didn't honor the Muslim martyrs. Holy shit, man.
Wait, what?
Did you not see this? The there was, you know, people.
People are making the parallels between the Fremen and the Palestinians.
Yes, that's
happening. Yeah, okay.
And saying that Denis Villeneuve he whitewashed it by taking out some Arabic pronunciations. This is where we're at, man. this is just what it is.
I mean, it sounded Arabic to me. No.
Alib. Because they
Hassan al Glib.
They translate one word to mean fighter instead of martyr.
Oh,
and that deeply offended Crystal from Pontiac, Michigan.
Yeah,
who needs it to be martyr?
Right. Yeah.
You know what I heard yesterday?
Uh-huh.
I forget what YouTube I watched. They were essentially saying that the British Democrats, right, Labor, was going the other way on trans issues.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they're not doing they're not humoring everybody. It was humoring. Let's just be frank about what was going on. They're not humoring the child transition conversation anymore. I don't know if that's true. I don't live in England. I just watched a YouTube about it, whatever. Now, if that's true and certain conversations are flipping, I mean, is the, hey, the Hollywood blockbuster wasn't Muslim enough for me, is that conversation just going to be washed out to sea? Like, that's these things aren't going to last very long at all anymore, are they?
No. And you know, the impact that anything ever, that things once had, I think that's done also.
Yeah, so there's all these rappers getting canceled this week. I don't know if you saw this.
Which one?
Guys I never fucking heard of in my life. I'm old, everybody. I don't know what a Xavier Wolf is.
Mm.
But all these guys getting canceled, and I just don't know if it, I mean, with rappers, I never know if it matters. But this is like a lot of white fans for these guys.
Oh, yeah.
I was reading it, and like, you know, the one woman's posting photos of herself, and she really looks like she got dropped off a building, right? Like, so if he did the shit, this was very bad shit,
uh-huh.
Right? But I'm looking at it going, yeah, I mean, I care, right? Like, if I knew this dude, I'd call him up and say, what the fuck? But since I don't know this dude, and since nobody knows this dude, does this matter at all? Like, is it going to hit? I guess he lost, like, he was taken off of some Limp Bizkit show. But does it matter at all past the Limp Bizkit show? Does anything matter past the Limp Bizkit show? Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
George Not Found. Do you know who that is?
George Not Found. No, I don't.
He's part of MCYT. You know what MCYT is?
You got educated.
Minecraft YouTube.
Okay.
So Minecraft YouTube is falling apart right now because of all the allegations.
Oh boy.
And I'm looking at it going, okay, well, your audience, you build your audience. You just hope for anybody to come to you, but you can tailor it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And you have tailored it to be people that want you to fail as much as they want you to succeed. They're happy to just be part of anything that's happening to you on any level.
It feels like with YouTube, it's like you're not anything until you get something. So someone hits you with something.
Yeah, well, that's the sign that you matter, yeah. But everybody, I want to be respectful. I want to be respectful. I do. But the allegations are a woman and this Minecraft YouTuber cuddled for an hour, after which point he put his hand on her waist / ribs under her shirt.
Not allowed.
And this could be, everybody, this could be a sign that I'm an old rapo.
Mm.
I don't know. If that's the case, if the world has changed so much, just know that you don't have to worry about this lunatic, this menace. I'm off the market. You know what I mean? So it's all good. You don't, you know, the fear, don't feel like I'm coming for you, okay? Eric, being honest for a second,
mm-hmm.
Is an hour of cuddling, is that a signal that it may be okay to put your hand under a woman's shirt, not to grab boob, not
right.
just like her tummy or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, I mean, if cuddling is a pretty intimate act, I would think that the intimacy could, I would take that as a signal that the intimacy could go further, right? And
I think,
you know, but at the same time, you know, she could grab your wrist and go, no, no, no. And I think that would be okay.
Yeah. Well, all right. So there's this other question about silence is not consent. Well, that's understood, but does body language speak at all? Right? Like if somebody's grinding themselves against you like a horny cat.
Yeah.
And you put your hands at their side, like on their torso. Do you feel that you overstepped because you didn't pursue verbal confirmation that that behavior would be okay? Or is that pretty much, I mean, I guess what I'm asking is, am I an aging rapo, or is it possible that there's a lot of younger people who are completely separated from, normal human interaction, non-online interaction.
Well, things have gotten so weird, right? I mean, I feel like everything in the last 4 years, everyone calls everyone autistic, right?
Oh,
it's the most thrown around word. It now belongs in that the hall of special words like fascism and democracy, the words that have been so overused in every context that they've been sucked of all meaning, right? So it's like not being able to read signals, body language, social cues, that's what we understand as autism, right? But if everyone's autistic and no one knows how to do any of this stuff when it comes to interpersonal, when it comes to intimacy or sex or whatever, then it's like, I guess I can't judge this with a non-autistic mind because it's not applicable to the situation. You know what I'm saying?
Have you ever been more grateful to be off the market?
I mean, I feel very grateful, not just for that, but also like
to be on the same page as your partner.
Of course,
that
yeah.
Rules.
I mean, very grateful for that. But I feel grateful to be like of the generation that I'm from. I feel like I was the last like normal person generation.
Yes, you are.
You know what I'm saying?
And like, you're right on the line, honestly.
Right
not
on the line.
But
yeah, and I'm not saying like whole. I mean, yeah, there was still certainly some weird, but like things have. I'm so glad I'm not 22. I'm so glad I'm not 15. Like, I'm so happy. Like, listen, my body sucks.
I was going to say, it's not great being closer to death.
No, it's not great, and I have a headache almost every day in my life.
But in some ways better than being lame.
Yeah, well, also just, like, way better than getting, like, completely aired out because you slid your hand under someone's shirt and you thought that was okay to do. And then it turns out no one said anything, but now now millions of people on the internet are
calling you a serial rapist.
Yeah, exactly. Like I feel very grateful to be of a time where not everything was mediated. Not everything was put on the internet I feel tremendously grateful for that.
But that's just because you want to get away with your crimes.
Is that right?
By silencing the ones that you've exploited.
No, I just like there's things, right? There's a thing that we used to throw around called like unspoken understanding or like, people as human beings, you can be on the same page as other people without having to explicitly say, but like you can't really say that for young people. I feel like do we sound like the old men from the Muppets?
Yeah, but I listen, I just talked to a venue staff who is this vehicle gonna hit us? Might. I just talked to venue staff. We were walking down concrete stairs towards the alley. We're talking about maybe 30 concrete stairs, and he said, boy, I take it careful walking down these. I've thrown so many people out these that I'm waiting for karma to come up and bite me. And he told me earlier that he's been working at this venue since 1976.
Oh, boy.
And I said, Jesus, I can't imagine what the 80s were like. He said, Slayer, I was just allowed to throw them down these concrete stairs. Now, when we talk about a different time, you know, is this... If there was a statue to this venue employee who wears a pork pie hat, I think it's leather, would we have to tear it down now because it's not within our modern understanding to throw concert goers down concrete stairs that almost certainly break their ankles
yeah.
and arms? I mean, I don't know. What do you think? Oh, speaking of which, Roger Murray under fire.
Oh, sure. We're doing the yearly audit of Agnostic Front lyrics. Lyrics written by a 19-year-old that lived in a squat.
In 81.
In 81 New York City. And also, it always goes the same way because it becomes about Peter Steele, who not only all those things, but is also dead.
Yeah, yeah.
And can't answer for any of it. It always goes the same fucking way. But No, I just feel when it comes to the generational thing, I feel like it's just weird as an older person to look at the kids and be like, yo, you guys got to chill out. And I don't mean like, you know, like I'm not even necessarily talking about the like the activism type shit or whatever, but I'm just like the kids are really uptight, like really uptight.
They're tightly wound. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there was one little kid. Now, again, back to that George Not Found thing. I want to be sensitive for this reason. If I think something's absurd, but it comes with what appears to be real human emotion. All right, I'm gonna be autistic for this. All right, if something comes with real human emotion, but even if I think what caused that human emotion is a bit overblown or patently absurd, I want to be sensitive to these things that people are feeling.
Sure.
So,
yeah.
So. There was one of these YouTube, everybody, you could tell that I've been in a van because I'm watching fucking Minecraft YouTube drama. But,
but this was replaced scripted television.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really, truly crazy. There's, I would say at this exact moment, there's a new YouTube drama every 3 days.
Yeah.
And it is a thing that people follow. They give you links to the Reddit. Where you can go down a deeper hole where people really want each other to fail. Like they you know that you'll have nothing and you'll own nothing and you'll love it sort of thing.
Yeah.
This is, you'll be stripped of everything you worked for and you should be grateful. You know what I mean? Cause this is accountability. Accountability is you having nothing anymore. So that's I'm in Minecraft YouTube and hold on. Oh, there we go. And there's a young man, British young man. And when I say young man, he could be a kid, really. I mean, he's not, but he certainly could be. He's very foppish, right?
Okay.
And he was having a meltdown / conniption. I don't want to do an impression of mocking him because, again, it seemed like a real human emotion that he was having. But sure. In some ways, it's not. In some ways, it's a simulacra of a fucking human moment.
I think everything is a simulacra. I think everything's become a meme of itself. I don't think anyone has genuine experiences anymore.
That's where I'm at, I guess.
I think we're all just memes and cosplay of what once was. Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe that's the logical progression of things, right? Because, like I saw in that Agnostic Front hardcore Twitter discourse, people were posting old photos, and there was an old photo of, I guess it was Carnivore, and it was, you know, Peter Steele and the other folks from that band, and it's like, you know, the 1984, they're standing in some like rubble of what looks like a burned down yeah. fucking tenement in, you know, Lower East Side or whatever. And they got like the combat boots on and like the camo pants and like a bandana, and they got long hair and they got big muscles on, you know, with the tank top on. And I was like, damn, these fuckers look hard. Like, fucking, why don't we dress like that? And it's like, if you dress like that now, you'd just be doing cosplay.
Yes. That's, you know? Correct.
So that's like this. And when it comes to this YouTube shit, I wonder, honestly, I might point the finger at something that I don't think we've ever really mentioned, or I don't think we've ever identified before, but like, is this what happens to a culture that's like that? Like, we've been obsessed with like reality TV forever, you know. Like, is Minecraft YouTube drama just the Vanderpump Rules?
Yes,
for these people,
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
100%. But the fact that they don't care about the individual outcome, the fact that they see these people as pure. Not even utility. I guess they see them as some type of manufactured entertainment, and it doesn't matter that they could be homeless next or what. You know, I think that that's the really deranged part. I think finding entertainment. I'll be honest. There was a person that I know as an acquaintance who was having a meltdown online last night.
Oh,
and. I don't use meltdown lightly. I think that whenever the TMZ-style news says somebody's having a meltdown, it's never that. It's like three tweets that are like, yeah. I'm dissatisfied with my contract.
I keep my meltdowns to myself.
Right. This I would characterize as a meltdown.
Okay.
And
were they tweeting in all caps?
No, they were video tweeting, which I think is probably worse.
That's probably worse, yeah.
And I would say it was a meltdown. And it got me thinking, oh, shit, I'm captivated by this meltdown. I'm following this meltdown as though it was, you know, Dynasty. all my children. And so I'm no better. I just also want good things for this person, so I hope that balances out.
Yeah.
I don't see that in the MCYT.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, so that's... Normally I wouldn't care about any of this, but obviously this is a piece of a larger whole that I think is what is scary and what is disturbing about the whole thing is that, like, really, I think... And maybe it's not necessarily their fault, but, like, as a bystander to the whole shit, like, you... Like, these people's humanity is not being taken into account, right? They're not, like... I don't think that they are thinking about the amount of stress and serious, like, mental anguish that being at the receiving end of one of these things can cause a person. Or maybe they do, and they think the person deserves it.
But who deserves anything? That's the weirdest part of anything. I don't feel qualified to judge Saddam Hussein. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well.
Like, I just don't understand who wants the role of judge. Well, are you psychotics?
Well, no. I mean, I think it's very normal. I think it's very human. And that's what's scary about it is that it's, I think that this sort of thing is, I don't think people, you know, we read that fucking article. What was that article about? Only 50% of people have an inner monologue.
Yeah, apparently.
You know what I mean? So,
I don't know,
like,
what that means. We don't know what that means, but
well,
yeah.
I guess in your head, if you're thinking of words, that's your inner monologue. If you're saying words inside your brain, that's your,
I don't know that I say words inside my brain.
No, what do? You get little pictures?
Maybe I don't feel anything.
You hear a voice?
I don't think no.
I hear a voice.
You hear a voice?
It's a man's voice.
Schizophrenic, though.
He's German. I got to get it translated.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got you. He's yelling all the time.
Yeah, he's just yelling all the time. And I'm like, what is this guy so stressed about? No.
Juden. is that what he's stressed about? I think maybe.
You might be onto something. But, like, no, I think it's normal to normal to act that way in groups. And that is why we have, like, that's a human thing, and you got to transcend beyond that. You have to be godly, in which you deny your baser instincts to harm. Mm. That's why we have a criminal justice system, right? It's like if someone killed my best friend, I would feel it incumbent on I would want to get revenge. I would want to get revenge myself. I would go find this person and kill them myself. But you got to be godly. You got to be next to God. You say, the person that victimized me, that I feel very emotional about, there is a chance that they could be innocent, so they have to have a day in court and be proven innocent till proven guilty. That is, and that does not come easy to people. That is, like, such a route. It's I've said it so many times on this podcast. It's amazing that that standard exists, because who could have even, like, whoever came up with that was next to God. Now I just sound like one of those right wing guys that are like, the founding fathers were sent here by Jesus.
You know, I think that it'll be interesting if you're the second of my close friends to become a Catholic later in life.
Really?
Yeah. Good friend of mine is, he just went Catholic after he became sane. So it's really hard to knock the Catholicism because he was insane for a little while.
Mm.
And when he came out of it, he said, you know what brought me a lot of comfort? Was sort of just Catholicism, sort of going deeper into faith. And it occasionally makes him sound like a loon.
Yeah.
But is way better than when he, I think we discussed this, when he was collecting piss bottles and believed that other people had hay inside their skin.
Yeah, that's not good.
So So, but what if you became the sort of trad? Oh, this one topic into another. Let's talk about the catfish girl.
Who's catfish girl?
You come on, man. You got to stay up on the discourse. This podcast is supposed to be about the internet. Which, by the way, I've determined what we're doing when I get back. We're going to do Zoom calls.
Okay.
So we got our two faces.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to use high-tech editing.
Okay.
To put our faces in the corner.
Okay.
Of the thing. And I'm going to distill our podcast down to 5 minutes.
Okay.
And put that online.
All right, sure.
Because there's about 4.5 minutes of good content in our podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to just distill it. People can choose to watch that, or they could get a taste from that and come for the bigger picture.
Okay.
I spoke to a Hollywood guy. One of the biggest podcasts in the world, or at least in the U.S., is desperate to not podcast.
Oh, wow.
And these are guys that make serious fucking money. But they came to him and said, hey, how the fuck do we not do this anymore?
Yeah.
And I think that you and I have been talking about how podcasting is over, but I think it's when the big figures leave.
Ooh, there's a little space.
No.
You got to reach for the crown.
No.
No?
I think that we end up in terrestrial radio space where, yes, you and I could technically be Bubba the Love Sponge, but everybody is desperate to get out of podcasting. I'm not really. I just like doing what we do, but I think that there's some part of me that does feel the need to compete, you know?
And okay.
Even though we kind of occupy a singular lane of disaffected former hardcore kids that want to hear somebody use the word retard.
Right.
You know what I mean? So whatever. But the catfish girl, she didn't catfish anybody. We're not. There's accusations that this is Oliver Anthony style AstroTurf, that this is not real, but it becomes a tulpa. It becomes real. It is a young woman who makes TikToks of her in whatever fucking redneck. It's got to be Alabama or Louisiana. It's a very thick Southern accent that she has, and she's. Are we about to get robbed? What's going on?
Maybe.
And she says, you got to grab the catfish by the, you know what I mean? It's like that sort of accent. It's thick as fuck.
Okay.
And
you're getting real Shaggy Dog. Where are we going?
Listen. And this other very well put together Lebanese woman with a blue check mark who's a huge Trump supporter who loves Melania.
Okay.
Posts, this accent should be illegal.
Oh.
Why are American women men?
Yeah.
Okay, now, oh, you're familiar now. Shaggy Dog. Familiar. All right, go on. So here, can I offer a contrarian viewpoint here?
Sure.
I kind of agree.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that if you find the catfish woman attractive, you are gay.
Okay.
However,
latent homosexuality.
However, unlike the Lebanese lady with the fake eyebrows and fake boobies.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with you being gay.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's if American men want to all have bad chins but good beards, be 15 pounds overweight, make love to their girlfriends, their eternal fiancés once a month, this has nothing to do with me and I don't care. Mm. There's no judgment on my part, but they are gay.
Okay. Well, that's what I mean, like, I remember I saw this on Twitter, and my thought was, if finding this woman makes me gay, or finding this woman attractive makes me gay, like, what am I supposed to do with that information?
Right. Well, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
I'm at the space where if this Lebanese half hooker tells us, hey, you're gay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Talun. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate it. I don't know. Yeah, what am I doing? I'm walking around now. I'm a gay man.
Well, if we're going back to the whole thing about words that have no more fucking meaning, it's kind of like my understanding of what makes someone gay is they like if they're a man, it's they like a penis in their mouth or their asshole.
Okay, wait.
Or putting their penis in a mouth
okay,
or an asshole.
All right. Yeah.
Right. There's two ways you can do it. And if you're a woman, obviously, vagina, vagina. That's gay, right? But
no, you're so simple, Eric.
But the tomboy girl and her fucking boyfriend has a penis, and he puts his penis in her vagina. Doesn't matter how often. Doesn't matter if she has long flowing hair or short hair or is butch and he's a twink. That is heterosexuality.
Oh, you're gonna stand on business with that.
Well, that's just how, again, the generation that I come from.
Okay.
That's how I understand it.
Yeah. You're very old, Eric.
If there was a fucking twink femboy and a butch, if they have sex, that's heterosexuality. It might be a little freaky. You know, I don't know. It might be a little bit. You look at that and go, there's an interesting couple.
This is pretty,
but it's not gay.
This is pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Because.
And if it is gay, then what difference does it make? Also, if you find both of them attractive, let's say Lebanese fake titty, you know, I find that attractive. And then, you know, a girl down in the swamp with abs ripping fish out of the water, the fucking what, Love Lies Bleeding, Kristen Stewart, muscle mommy. Can you find, are you bi if you find both of them attractive?
You know what? That's a great point. Or are you just hard up?
Yeah, you just hard up. You just, you know what? Like,
you're over preferences.
Or could it be that they both have vaginas and that's the preferred genitalia you enjoy on in your sexual proclivities?
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Here's the question. When you, now you weren't ready for this one, but let me take you back to a space that you don't always like to go.
Uh-oh.
Remember when you were just a Queens meatball?
Sure, yeah.
You know, you were just like kind of a heavy set. I'm going to the Haram show. I'm going to jiggle my boobs or whatever.
Yeah, no muscle mass.
No muscle mass.
A lot of beer belly.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, back in those days, would you, were you beyond preference at that point?
In terms of a woman?
Yeah.
And I
don't mean this to denigrate anybody you might have been with during that time. What I'm saying is, were you, like, when we said you might just be hard up, if Kristen Stewart and Lebanese, you know, whatever,
bimbo,
if they both appeal to you, we jokingly said you might be hard up.
Mm-hmm.
There was times in your life where maybe you were hard up. Is that true?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I had a skinny little worm body, and wildly maladaptive, thoughts.
Right? Some would say you still sit in that zone.
No, well, my worm body is now because I'm shaped like a tube, and my maladaptive thoughts.
Shai Halud.
Yes, and my I'm slowly becoming the sandworm.
Yeah,
and my maladaptive thoughts. Are not of the exquisite gentleman style. You know what I mean?
Okay.
They're magnificent. What was he? He was the resplendent, whatever. The guy who shot the kids in Santa Barbara.
The Grand Salamander.
The Grand Incel Salamander.
Yeah.
Whatever the fuck his name was. Anyway.
The perfect gentleman.
The perfect gentleman.
Right?
Yeah. Whatever the fuck his name was.
Yeah.
So, but when you were down bad. Did you have equal space in your heart for Kristen Stewart, muscle mommy, and Ivanka Hooker?
Yeah. Well, the muscle mommy thing is interesting because, like, it's like I'm not against it, but there's definitely a line where a woman can be too much.
Yeah. Well,
then I kind of fall into the Lebanese woman thing.
Okay,
like,
you might
be gay.
You might be. Oh, really?
Yeah.
So, I'm gonna push a little harder.
I think that guy just took some of your piss bottles.
Yeah, I think he did. Listen, Chicago. You want to talk about places that are down bad? Chicago's in the struggle, man.
Yeah.
Is anybody here doing good?
Feels
like there'd be wealth around the corner, but I never see it.
It's always just around the corner, and then it's never there.
Yeah. It's illusionary.
It's, I don't know. Chicago's fine.
Without saying anything, I just want to point out that person sucks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
We can talk about it off air.
I just want you to know that person sucks.
I believe it. yeah. Where were we going?
Your sexual preference based on your muscle mommy quotient. So you think that, for example, if a woman is over, I don't know, if she has 3% body fat and she's ripped, that the man is a homosexual if he sleeps with her? That's a tough line for you to take, man.
No.
We got to have a podcast here. I've already said that's gay.
Yeah.
So you've got to take the counterpoint.
Well, that's the man. All right, now I'm kind of like, I'm kind of contradicting myself because it is, again, penis vagina, not gay, but guy in the street just yelled fucking stupid. I'm with him.
We've talked about how to our dads, and I don't want to speak for your dad. The other day, I got so mad at a fucking friend who was. He was doing the whole love is love. We got to get out of trans people's business. And I kept saying, yeah, no, I agree, brother. But what about substantive policy issues that, you know, need to be decided by so that we don't fight about these things anymore? You know, like what about like simple things like prisons and whatever? And he was like, you know, I was talking to my dad the other day. He's in the twilight of his life. And he said, just let him live. And I said, you know, it's really cool for your dad who doesn't have to worry at all about how this policy impacts human life. You know what I mean? Like your father could just say, let him live. That's a platitude. It don't mean shit. So anyway, we've talked in the past about how our fathers would probably view the act of being with somebody with boobs, but also a penis.
Yeah.
As gay.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, probably.
Oh, look at this. We're in the nice part of Chicago where businesses have to say notice there is no cash in this on the premises.
Yeah. There's a couple nice parts of Chicago, and
they still have to put up signs that say, you know, it's not worth your time to rob us. Don't shatter the window.
Yeah. Like I was saying before this podcast started that Chicago's like, you'll walk through a neighborhood that looks totally pleasant and residential, and then a car will roll up and just point a gun at you.
Yeah.
And you're like, what? Whoa, that's jarring.
They love guns here.
That's never happened to me. I don't know what. But like,
that happened to you in.
Oh, it did happen in Los Angeles. Yeah.
You're just projecting, though.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's see. Is it time for me to be on stage? Let's see.
We were really getting somewhere, I feel like.
Well, we're getting to the. You ever read about, I think her name's Solanas.
Valerie Solanas.
The one who shot Andy Warhol.
That's right.
So, have you ever read about her?
No, I think she, actually, I, no, I lied. I guess I read the fucking Wikipedia page. Seemed like she was just like a Punisher.
Yes, like 100%, yes.
Which anybody who's ever been friends with anyone in a band or anyone that's done anything, really anything in life, you encounter these people.
Yeah, you run into these people, and
she was always going up to Andy being like,
hey, read my script.
Yeah, read this thing that I wrote, and he would have to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it's good.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's good.
You remember me, right? Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
You know what he said to her when she handed him the script?
Fuck off.
No, that's what he should have said.
That's what he should have said.
What he said was, oh, it's so nicely typed.
Fuck.
That's when you know you're punishing someone.
Yeah.
Is when they go, oh, I mean, those are cookies. Thank you. You know what I mean? Like, fuck. Which, by the way, if you were in, so somebody asked to be on the guest list tonight.
Yeah.
And it was, hey, is there anything I can bring you? I really appreciate you putting me on the guest list. And now I know this person as an acquaintance.
Okay.
Right. But there's nothing really stopping them from poisoning my food.
Right. Oh, listen, you don't have to talk. I'm so paranoid about this shit.
So we might have discussed this on air in the past. Would you eat a Tupperware container full of cookies that somebody brings to a show for a band?
No. Fuck no. It's going to be dosed with something. It's going to be weed cookies. I'm not eating that shit.
So, by the way, we're out with Alkaline Trio, who have very dedicated fans. And
there's people. It's like 3 hours before the show is a line already.
I mean, there's a couple people every day who show up at 10.
That's crazy.
It's really crazy.
You got jobs?
No one's working, man. It's everybody's a disaffected tech worker. They're like, I got all the time in the world. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But you got to imagine the incredible amount of bizarre shit that that band has been handed over the years.
Oh man, yeah.
Hey, I make homemade dolls.
I mean, if your hobby is like making like clothing, then you can made a sweatshirt for you. Okay, that's permissible. I would not eat anything a stranger at this point in my life, especially weed's legal. I'm not eating anything a stranger hands me.
Yeah, I kind of feel that.
Just absolutely not. No. That's like my biggest fear is like eating a weed cookie.
It's a pretty big fear for me too.
I don't want to deal with that.
That's why when we were talking about that, I guess fake story. I don't know. We talked about this seems fake, but maybe I don't know. Whatever. The estrogen story with the pre-workout.
Sure. Yeah.
We laughed, and it is funny. And it would be funny if I took my clothes off and ran down the street in like a weed panic. You know, that'd be fun. You could tell I'm not a weedman when I'm treating it like it's fucking high-grade LSD.
No, that might happen. But, I mean, it is kind of. Anyway.
Nobody wants to hear the truth, Eric.
Listen, I've been down that road. It makes
been down Weed Boulevard.
I've been Weed Down Boulevard a number of times. I mean, smoking it is one thing, but edibles, it might as well be LSD.
So we can agree that it would, in fact, be funny if I fell out a fucking window after being dosed. Yes, okay, funny.
It's
not good, and certainly it's disrespectful.
I think it would be horrifying for you.
Very horrifying.
Which kind of makes it not funny, but...
You and I both value the sanctity of our brains, so...
I've put a lot of work into it, man. I've done a lot of repairing. I've put up a lot of drywall in there. I'm not trying to bust it down.
Yo... That's the best you could do is drywall, too, by the way.
Yes. Yeah.
Most of us don't have brick interiors.
It's Chinese drywall. It's very flimsy. It
might have some toxic elements.
Yeah, it's toxic that it's going to... I mean, at some point in my life, it will have a degenerative effect, but I've done a lot of work here. A lot of spackle in my brain.
So...
A lot of caulk.
So with that in mind, it's imperative you don't dose us.
No, do not do that.
And you would not fuck with the cookies. I'm sure we've talked about this before because we both feel powerfully like, hey, don't fuck with my brain.
I need to see the pack. I need to see the cookie come out of the package. I need to see the package. I need to see that it's a Chips Ahoy.
I don't like packaged cookies at all.
You can get them from you can get some good ones from like a bakery.
I don't know. I don't like... when was the last time you had a Fryhoffer's cookie?
Fryhoffer's?
I grew up on Fryhoffer's because there's a Fryhoffer's factory in Albany, New York. And
I grew up on like Famous Amos or
something. We were proud of Fryhoffer's.
Yeah.
But to anybody that knows, they used to come in two boxes, white or brown. And there was the Fryhoffer's bread, which is revolting. Let's see what we know about the Fryhoffer's. But anyway, people were proud of it. And looking back on it, it just sucks. It's
really?
Terrible. Terrible. Let's see.
I mean, you're never going to get it as good as, you know, right out of the oven or homemade or, you know. But like a lot of grocery stores will have a bakery section where you can get a nice soft cookie. You know, it's much better than like a Chips Ahoy. And you can verify that there's no weed in there. But you notice every now and then there's like a story in the news where some guy went to a Taco Bell in a bad part of town and it was dosed.
And there's a finger.
Yeah. Listen, I'd prefer the finger, honestly.
Yeah, I think I would too. Okay, Fryhoffer's run for women.
The quality of Taco Bell's meat, I don't know if they'd even notice a finger.
No. Yo, they keep telling me not to say I hate Taco Bell because
you're trying to get that money.
They want the shit, but yeah. I really fucking cannot stand it.
It's awful. I mean, it's like it is one of those things where I crave it probably twice a year, and
crave
I know
it. No shit.
Well, that's I know it's like a dark feeling because it's like
it's a dark feeling.
It's like I know that in my heart that it's not good. You know what I mean? But like I want it. So what is that? You know what I mean? That's just like sadomasochism at a certain point. You know? But
you
like
know
there's something in the food that makes you want it. I think it has a very distinct flavor.
I thought about this because there was what the fuck was I watching? I was watching something where it was a guy who like a celebrity who was talking about his vices and everything. And I was thinking about to be a married guy with mistresses, you have to be an incredibly high risk individual.
Yeah. Oh, like, I don't know how anyone does that.
Like, that's a friend's father had really bad bipolar and he was just always cheating. And it was kind of like on some level you felt deep sympathy for the guy because it was almost like he didn't want to. Do you know? Like,
yeah.
He would just enter a mania and have to bring home a nurse. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was just like that.
Yeah.
And but what a stressful existence.
I mean, I don't know how anyone can keep that up, can manage that. Yeah, that's like, I that would be so fucking beyond stressful.
What about two families?
Oh, there's people that do that. You know what it is, though?
Remember two families?
I think, honestly, a lot of these things stem from anxiety or maybe just a hole that we feel in our life that we got to fill with something. Like, I think people just need something going on.
Yeah,
because
yeah, yeah.
When
I
you
agree.
Got nothing going on, it is not a good feeling.
No, but you know what? I don't want to get too deep about this, and I understand it's not like a sexy conversation. It's not like particularly if you are 25 and you like my bands and somehow you fell into this fucking podcast.
Mm.
This is not a sexy thing to say, but it is a true thing to say. Now, I there's things I want to accomplish. I'm always trying to do something interesting, right? I really am. But I think that my parents as fucking, I don't know, maybe you see it the same way. Over time, I think you recognize that being in a working partnership or a family that doesn't kill each other is the highest ambition.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to sound like a trad dad here, but I just think that when you see how many families can't make it work or how many families are fucked up, if you have a good family, it's almost like you achieved something really remarkable. Now, it's less remarkable to get somebody pregnant, right? And it's less remarkable to have a bad marriage. But to have a good marriage and a good family, I don't know. I think about it a lot lately. Like, I think about it like, you know, did we talk about Don Silver?
Don Silver. Wasn't he like a, isn't he the manager of the Orioles or something?
No. No, not Don. So there's Don Simpson, Jerry Bruckheimer, whatever the other guy is. The other guy is, did we really not talk about this?
Baron Holtz.
Hold on. What's the movie with Tom Cruise that he's a race car driver? Days of Thunder. Okay. Everybody in real time, we're going to do a little.
I would just say about the family, I think you spend a lot of time as a young person, like, rejecting that stuff around you because it, like, controls and dictates your life. And then you spend your young adulthood realizing that some of that shit's the only thing that really matters, especially when you don't have a job. Maybe I'm projecting too much of my own life here, but it's like you wrote that. What's that song you wrote? It's not good for the man to be alone.
No,
it's really not. It's really not good, especially a guy alone who doesn't have anything to do. That's a dangerous. That's the devil right there. We really are trad. That's the devil's plaything.
Okay. Don Simpson. Simpson never married and lived alone in a mansion in Coldwater Canyon in Beverly Hills. He took classes to join the Church of Scientology, but quit after spending $25,000 and not seeing any significant personal improvements. Let's see. Simpson was known for his brash personality, provocative comments, and questionable claims. Of director Steven Spielberg, Simpson said, "I'm surprised for a smart Jew he's as white bread as he is." He later said, "Any person who suggested David Lynch for the part of for Dune should have every part of their anatomy examined." Let's see. He said several times that as a producer, his obligation is to make money.
Cheers.
Let's see. He claimed he discovered Michael Mann, launched Deborah Winger, Richard Gere. Okay, so he has all these. In the movie industry, professionals working with Simpson would refer to the Don Simpson discount factor a way to tone down his exaggeration. So he's just a compulsive liar. Basically, this okay. Here's what he said about Shelley Duvall in Popeye. He stood up at the meeting in 1979 in a room full of executives and said, "Well, I wouldn't want to fuck her. And if I don't want to fuck her, she shouldn't be in the fucking movie."
Fuck.
Hold on. He wore the same, he would wear black Levi's 501s before their first wash and then throw them away. He frequented occasional, okay, so he worked out and tanned every day. He says he had never underwent plastic surgery, but 10 different surgeons said that he did, including a penis enlargement procedure. So let's see. He liked to eat and have sex. He was a fixture on the Hollywood cocaine party circuit.
Mm.
Let's see. He loved S&M, and he also gave himself shots of testosterone to boost his sex drive.
This is a wild boy.
He ran a casting couch where he auditioned struggling actresses for his movie, convinced them to have sex, and then secretly filmed their sex acts. That's not good.
Not good.
But it was the 80s. He said he's been using cocaine since the 80s. let's see. He says he quit. Everybody in his life says he didn't. They tried getting him into rehab. He kept checking himself out. He gave up on traditional sobriety and started doing a detox program, which included morphine. And then he died of, oh no, hold on, let's see. I think he died of a heart attack from having cocaine. Yeah, okay. Cocaine and prescription medications. There were 21 different drugs in his system at the time of his death, from 15 different doctors. And police found 2,200 prescription pills lined up in alphabetical order in his bedroom closet. His total drug expenses were more than $60,000 at the time of his death. This was in 1998. So this guy lived hard.
Yeah.
He achieved a lot. He made Days of Thunder.
Yeah.
Top Gun.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good movies.
Yeah.
Would it have been better if he put it aside and raised two children?
Probably. Well, he might have lived longer.
He would have lived longer, but...
But maybe he couldn't.
That's what I'm saying. This is my question is, are there some... this bird you cannot cage. Is he... You know what I'm saying? Is he... Did he know himself completely and say, I am going to have sex with prostitutes every morning and every evening, and between those hours, I'm going to verbally abuse a PA.
Yeah, and I'm going to go to my trailer and stick fucking testosterone in my ass and shoot lines of coke up my nose.
Now, is that a person who knows thyself?
Yeah.
Or is that a sad character?
I mean, I'm sure he had moments where he broke down and was like, oh, my life is so fucked up.
Can you imagine being the third hooker of the day and he's just sobbing on you, talking about how he'll never love?
He's like, I can't anymore. He's like, you're a good person. You're good. You're like a good person.
Yeah. Why are you working like this? Yeah. You shouldn't have, I'm going to take care of you.
I'll give you $20,000 right now.
I'm going to take care of you. Like, you know what?
I'll pay for your apartment. I'll pay the rent. You go live wherever you want. Yeah. It's, He probably had highs and lows. He probably had a lot of extremes. But, some people can fit into that mold and some people can't, right? But I think in general, here's the thing. Even if you feel like you can't, you probably got to force yourself a little bit.
What do you think is more What do you think is more tragic? Somebody who is a little softer trying to force themselves into his life.
Oh.
Or him trying to force himself into the life of a reasonable adult?
That's a, yeah.
I think about like my friends from high school. They go on. I don't want to out them. Never mind. My friends from the bowling league.
Yeah.
Who, some of them will go on vacations, and on those vacations, they'll do shit that they wouldn't do at home. right?
Okay.
Like they'll do drugs and fuck hookers and shit.
Yeah. You're not talking about going to Southeast Asia, are you?
No. Not that type of shit you won't do at home. I mean, like they'll go on, you know, like guys' vacations,
sure,
and behave in ways that they wouldn't otherwise.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to get into maybe their wives know, maybe their wives don't. I don't fucking know everybody. It's none of my business. But I just say, should that be the absolute limit of a man's evil? Or should you be plagued with vices and naughty inclinations at all times? And if you are that dude, what are you supposed to do? Can you fix yourself, I guess is the question.
Well,
like if you're Don Simpson,
yeah,
can you fix yourself?
So you got to look at your life and yourself, and you got to look at it as more of like a, you're never fixed, but every day you work is like AA talk. It's like every day you work on it, right? Every day. I was watching some movie recently where the protagonist says something along the lines of like, as a man, every day we go to battle with our own fucking dark self and sexuality, and
that's Shrek.
It's our duty to finish out the day having vanquished our darker self.
Okay,
but every day you wake up and you're back at it.
Okay, so I think that is the case for a lot of guys, because recovery obviously is not just drugs. You got all sorts of bad behaviors and mental blocks. You got
Steve-O doesn't beat off. He's taken his sobriety to like the nth degree limit, where like the only sexual release he has is with his partner.
That's fine.
It's totally fine. I'm just saying, like, I'm saying in the aggregate of men, that's probably not, that is not the norm.
You know,
and he treats it as though it's like in his abstaining from alcohol and drugs, abstaining from sexual release outside of your partner is also part of that.
You know, listen, so I wouldn't see it like that, but I just asked, really? If I live with my partner.
Yeah.
They're really, like, not to get into our personal life, but my girl is a healthy person. There's really no reason for me to beat off
from
home.
Yeah.
But I think Steve-O is away from home, isn't he?
I guess.
Drive around in a van or some shit?
I don't know what he does. I think he's home most of the time these days.
Then it's not that much of a flex.
No, but I think I guess when he's on the road, I'm sure he's staying true to that, you know?
Yeah, he's big on he's got like the real clear lines.
He's like a monk, you know? Although he has a wife and he has sex with her, you know?
It's a little different, but yeah. Listen, I have a lot of respect for Steve-O, weirdly. Although if you read the comments on his YouTube channel, people are like, oh, with the sobriety again, fuck, stop. Because he'll get anybody into a sobriety talk.
Yeah.
Anyone.
I mean, I got 4 years under my belt, and I kind of, after the first year, maybe even into like year and a half or the second year, I was like, I got to stop talking about this shit so much. People are getting tired of hearing about it. But it is, I mean, it's an achievement. I mean, I at least, and maybe this sounds like annoying sober guy, but it's like, you know, last year, year and a half, like, things have not, you know, in terms of my career and stuff, like there's been struggles. Things haven't totally gone my way. Things haven't gone the way I would have liked them to. And I'm still trying to figure shit out, even at a time in my life where I really thought I was hoping to have it kind of settled by now.
Sure.
And you know, every day is like, you know, I feel like I'm doing the right thing, but, you know, I try to examine myself and be like, well, what could I do different or what could I do more? Am I doing the right thing? But I know that if I get through the day being a sober guy, that I at least did one thing right, you know? And that's like a powerful feeling to have the confidence of knowing that, like, all right, I did that thing, you know?
Yeah, you can stand on the deck of that particular.
Yeah, and that feels good. That's a win, you know, when times get tough.
But isn't everything a bit like standing on the deck of an aircraft carrier with a mission accomplished sign behind you while you wear a bomber jacket despite having never served in the armed forces? Isn't everything a bit like that?
Maybe. I could see it that way. I mean, you got to give Bush you got to give him some credit for being confident in that moment, you know? It was like 2 days after we bombed, like, fucking, what was the main town in Iraq there?
Mosul?
Kandahar? I don't know.
No, what's the Baghdad? There was like two. There was like a week after we bombed Baghdad, and they were like, "War's over. We won." It's like, what?
Yeah, all
what?
Good.
Oh, really? Already?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, their armies are falling apart. They're fleeing. They're throwing down their. You know, everybody respectfully, because even for a rather, non-aggression, anti-war sort of podcast that we happen to be because of the individuals, I've said a few times I'm very sympathetic to the situation in Ukraine. I'm sympathetic to Americans giving them money. And that's not popular with everybody. But, I mean, my news is incredibly slanted. How slanted is your news?
In terms of, like...
The Ukraine coverage is nuts. So,
I mean...
All the top brass is saying this is a hopeless cause.
Yeah.
But my news feed is still major victory for Ukraine.
Is that right?
Yes. It's crazy.
The last thing I saw was that a Ukrainian victory is literally impossible.
Right. Now, I mean, it depends on what you mean by victory, right? Like, I mean, I guess they could just do this for 30 years, right?
Yeah. I think that, well... That's probably the goal, honestly. Not for Ukraine and
No. For a guy at Raytheon and Halliburton.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know.
Yeah.
There's Texas Instruments.
Yeah.
But where was I going? It's incredibly crooked. It's always, I mean, right now, my shit, I mean, this is actually, hold on, I'm going to reset for a second so I can get my thoughts straight. Here's the deal. At some point, we've got to talk about how Palestine became the cause du jour for the progressive set.
Uh-huh.
And Ukraine became the cause du jour for the liberals.
Yeah.
Israel, for a very short moment, was the cause du jour of conservatives.
Yeah.
But now I don't know what their cause is.
For conservatives?
Yeah.
Well, even if you were a pro-Israel guy, I think anyone who takes an honest look at the situation has got to say,
chill out, Israel.
Chill the fuck out.
Chill out, Israel.
Chill out. I don't hear, honestly, I don't really hear much about Ukraine anymore other than, no, it's important that we, you know, that we continue to fund them to defend themselves, which is probably true, I guess. You know?
Well, it's true and it's not true. I mean, it's not important to us literally.
No, but, I don't think about it. But
I mean, it certainly important to them. And, you know, the problem is that America is we're hypocrites. If we weren't hypocrites, this would be easy. We could just say, yeah, listen, they're a flawed democracy, but in essence, they're a democracy. So if they want the right to self-determination, we are going to aid them in that end of story. We are not the world's police. However, when somebody that's been good to us in the past asks us for help and we believe in their cause, we are going as a nation to say, okay, we'll open our fucking purse to you a little bit. That's totally fine by me if that's what we agree on. However, we're doing wild shit out here. Did you see that we're essentially creating another puppet government in Haiti now?
Oh, the Haiti shit is wild, bro. Barbecue.
We cannot stop with the puppet governments.
No.
By the way.
But maybe we need them. I don't know. And maybe it's better to be a puppet government of the United States than it is of, you know, China or Russia or any of the other people.
Yeah, or the Islamic State. But apparently Barbecue, not the worst guy.
I don't know what to believe, right? Because I looked up, why do they call him Barbecue? And one of them, he says it's because
his dad served barbecue.
Yes. Which, okay.
And his critics say it's because he eats human flesh.
Well, I didn't see eats human flesh, but I saw he sets his ops on fire.
I mean, look. And what do I always say? There's good and bad to be said for everyone.
I mean, you don't want a guy named Barbecue to be your op. But so what? He's the president of Haiti?
No, well, I guess he created a fake position for himself.
It's all fake, though.
At the same, yes, exactly. At the same time that a fake government, another fake government was being established in Jamaica with the idea that they would return to Haiti as this position. So you've got the U.S.-backed guy in a hotel room in Jamaica and you've got barbecue on the ground.
Yeah, man of the people.
Man of the people.
Yeah.
And then you've got this other guy whose name I forget, maybe Gee, who is, he was locked up in, you know, like Gitmo sort of shit, and is now out. He was extradited back to Haiti. That might be the people's champ in a lot of ways. I don't know. I mean, look, is there a George Washington here?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe barbecue's the Washington of Haiti.
Can you imagine if we audited Washington?
Wouldn't look good.
Wouldn't look good, no. Brother. Wouldn't look good.
Well, here's the thing. It's I don't know. I lost my train of thought.
Well, you know what I think is a noble cause?
What?
Not paying your taxes.
Sure.
When people point out, you know, it's that line from Dazed and Confused, don't forget what we're celebrating is that a bunch of wealthy landowners didn't want to pay their taxes. Well, I back that cause.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's I'm still with whatever, I you know, in that respect, I'm founding fathers.
I don't want to pay my taxes either.
Yeah, founding fathers. Let's go. Yeah.
I don't know what the reality is on the ground with these places like Haiti and Palestine and what's going on and puppet governments and CIA and, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the reality is, but I guess you could broadly say that all these people want to live in harmony and they all just want what anyone else wants, which is a nice life for themselves and their families. And
you want to talk about the duality man for a second?
Sure.
I know a guy who, he is a New York intellectual, you know, house full of books, that type of shit, right? Brownstone full of books.
Okay.
Who is incredibly progressive in every regard, but was often the guest of Papa Doc and Baby Doc Duvalier in Haiti.
Okay.
Those are the really crooked motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Right? And he loves Haiti. He feels so warmly towards Haiti because when he'd go there, he'd be treated like royalty by the incredibly crooked and brutal regime. So this is a progressive that loves to be on the beach breaking open coconuts while somebody's, well, like a protester's head gets cracked open in the city. That's, I think we got to confess, that's who we all are.
Yeah, that's probably true. I mean, that's what, like, in a way, like a guy like Trump is an honest actor because he'll just be straight up with people. He'll be like, he likes me, so I like him.
I like him.
Yeah, and I think that's how we all are.
Yeah, listen. I said it the other day.
He's always been cool to me. What did he do? Well, he shot someone, but he was nice to me.
He threw his wife off a bridge.
Yeah.
So the other day, I was being informed that somebody didn't like me. Right?
Okay.
And I said, oh, you want to run an experiment? I'll fix that tomorrow. On Axe to Grind, I'll say, oh, yeah, his band is killing it. Doing great. Really good. That new record's great. And I guarantee I hear that this motherfucker thinks I'm lit.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I'm not going to do that because, I mean, it's not even like I got integrity. I'm just obstinate like that. You're not, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not getting it from me. Fuck, suck a dick. But that's just how people are.
I mean, that's a great strategy. You know what I mean? If you want to, you know, but like, here's the thing. Because I go beyond the AA wisdom, right? Because what's the AA wisdom is just like
other people's opinions of you are none of your business.
I go beyond that. Other people's thoughts entirely are none of my business.
Good attitude.
You know what I mean? Like does not fucking make a fucking difference to me. What other people? I don't know why it matters what other people think.
I have to go sound check now.
Okay, everybody, Patreon.com/. Finally, didn't do a message. 720. Oh man,
you're struggling.
Struggling this week. you came out of nowhere with the fact that you have to go. But shit, where is it? Give me 2 seconds. 720-805-9785. Give us a call, leave us a message. Patreon.com/worst possible timeline. We'll get at you next time.
It is now 2024, and the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts, or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? So do we. Why don't you come over and check it out? And stop listening to other podcasts. Thank you.